Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Nick Ashew on the Fan Overtime. We're taking you to 10:15 tonight. Lean you into a little Wizards. Minus Trae Young, thank God. If that isn't a sign of what their plan is, I don't know what is at this point. You know, I thought tonight as I was, you know, getting ready for the show, the big deal, the big thing, everything everybody was going to be excited about and, you know, focused on was Brian Flores interviewing for that defensive coordinator spot, right? Which, I'll just say this now, I would love that. Love it. I think you don't let him leave the building. I understand there's probably wants to be a head coach and there's teams that probably want Brian Flores to be the head coach. Potentially, and that's going to be his first choice. I understand that, but I'll just say this. If you can keep him and he's defensive coordinator, that's it. It's done. It's fine. You don't need to talk to anybody else or figure anything out. That's the way to go. But then Fanatics had to announce that Jaden Daniels was part of this flag football tournament in Saudi Arabia. And a bunch of other names are on that list, but oh my God. That's when the emotion started. That's when everybody started to go, and I get it. Listen, I understand all of this. I understand why people are hesitant that there is a chance that maybe he plays in that. And according to Adam Schefter, Daniels is going to serve as a team captain along with Tom Brady, and he's going to participate in this. Now, first off, let's keep in mind that there are a lot of things that could change. A lot of things. They're paying Dave Portnoy, or they were considering paying Dave Portnoy, offered $10 million for him to just sit ringside at an event. So there's a chance that they just want Jaden Daniels' face there. That great smile, that young kid, up and coming, promising. They just want him to be a part of this. And that's great. But I understand that there is a worry hearing that Jaden Daniels could play in this flag football tournament. And I understand why so many people are worried and cautious and scared and all of these emotions. But Jaden Daniels playing in a flag football game, that's for a ton of money. That's, let's be honest, it's PR for Saudi Arabia. It's nothing more than a workout, and I know people hate hearing that, but this is absolutely true because perception is always reality, and the perception is he's going to play a meaningless game, get paid a lot of money, where there's a risk of him getting hurt, and I absolutely understand that 100%. You think that I didn't spend this entire season catching my breath and holding it every time Jaden Daniels ran, thinking he was probably going to get hurt because that's just where my mind was and where your mind probably was? Of course I felt that way. But this is an example of where the perception of the situation leads to the reality being bigger than what it is. So look, we'd feel the same way and we'd still be just as nervous if Jaden Daniels was live streaming his workouts. Because if you were watching, and by the way, I don't know why more NFL players don't do that because we live stream everything now. Why wouldn't you do that? But if Jaden Daniels was live streaming his workouts and he was running wind sprints, running a 40-yard dash, would you not hesitate? Would you not hold your breath and be just a little bit worried that he was going to get hurt? I mean, I would. I understand that. But the reality is here that any situation that involves Jaden Daniels doing anything physical, we're going to get scared. And listen, this is coming from the guy, me, that said shut him down for the rest of the season right before he got hurt throwing an interception and injured his elbow again that was already hurt and it was meaningless games and then they finally shut him down for the end of the regular season. So that was the right move. But there's still a difference between an NFL game and meaningless football games. And yes, a meaningless flag football game, that's essentially a workout. Now, sure, there's the risk of non-contact injuries. There's the risk of non-contact injuries lifting weights. There's the risk of non-contact injuries running whatever crazy plyometrics workout that Jaden Daniels will do in the offseason with his trainers and with the team and with whoever. And I know people like to bring up that Robert Edwards story 27 years ago. One time that also happened to be a flag football game on sand. You ever walked on sand? I've walked on sand. It ain't fun. I pride myself on being pretty physically active. I have the sorest calves after I just walk on the beach. I don't know what it is, but it just happens. So, like, if we're being honest with ourselves, sand versus flag football, those are totally different things. So we have to stop that. Look, we can't avoid the scars as fans of this team and as a fan base that desperately wants to see Jaden Daniels succeed and desperately wants to see this team have a level of just consistency at this point. Just consistency where we're talking about them competing for the NFC East every single year. I get it. I'm right there with you. Like, you think that you think I don't get worried every time anything involving Jaden Daniels doing anything physical is a game? Like, we are all scarred. We're scarred because of ownership. We're scarred because of all of the losses and the dysfunction and the letdowns and the RG3 era and name the list. Spending money on free agents. Now nobody wants to go out and spend any money on free agents or, you know, trade draft picks for a guy that's already established in the NFL. Max Crosby. Also, let's recruit him. He's a part of this. I'll be the only one saying it, but I'll keep saying it. I understand all of this. But the reality here is that this is Jaden Daniels potentially participating in something that'll be a minimal amount of effort where he's probably not going to run much and he's going to stand around and just toss the football around. Seriously. That's really what this comes down to. Nobody's going to be sitting there diving at his legs. Nobody's going to be sitting there trying to tackle him. Nobody's going to be sitting there. Like, yeah, like there's the chance that he maybe tries to run a little bit. He's going to jog. Like, this is going to be a flag football game that's the equivalent of the NBA All-Star game. Guys are half-assing it the whole way. I mean, really, I understand there's a level of competition. There's a level of competitive nature that's going to be a part of this. But if Tom Brady's old ass can be out there, then it's not going to be that competitive. And I get it. Tom Brady played till he was, what, 44? But, like, let's be honest with ourselves. Tom Brady ain't going to be running around. Jaden's going to do the same thing. Like, you think that he's not thinking about this? Look, it got to the point this season where Jaden Daniels' mom had to tell people, stop bringing that RG3 energy towards Jaden. You think he doesn't know the narrative? You think this organization doesn't know the narrative? They understand all of this. Like, Josh Harris and Magic Johnson and everybody else in this ownership group, oh, they know. They know everything that we've been through. They know the narrative. They know what's being said. They know what was said. They know the history. They know all of these things, and they're very aware of it. Now, I ain't saying they're perfect, but what I am saying is they're certainly better and smarter than everybody that was there in the front office before and an ownership group before and all of that. Again, it couldn't get much worse. We're not really setting like a very high standard, but in reality, this is where we are. So the perception is it's easy, and I get it. You hear meaningless off-season event where Jaden Daniels is playing flag football, and that's it, and that's all you hear. And the perception makes that a reality of like, this is meaningless and he could get hurt. Yeah, there's a risk that he could get hurt walking up the stairs. I don't know if he has a dog, but I have a dog that loves to just sit at my feet and hide. And she's 50 pounds. And somehow I find ways to trip over her all the time. Now, granted, I'm not Jaden Daniels, but what I'm saying is we can get hurt in any situation. And I know, I'm the same guy that said sit him down the rest of the regular season. But that's real, actual NFL football where defenses are coming after him trying to take his head off. That ain't going to happen in this. If he plays at all. Maybe he throws a couple. Like, this is nothing but a PR event. That's all this is. Everything involving Saudi Arabia, without getting too into politics, because that ain't my thing, you know that. This is about PR. That's it. Really. This is about changing the image. Like, everybody was up in arms when LIV first started. Now it's like, okay. LIV Golf. It's there. The Saudis have thrown their money into so many different sporting events in America that it's like we're numb to it at this point. And it's worked. That's been their plan. So people don't look at them the way that they did before anymore. Politics even aside on this, this is about a PR long-term campaign and throwing a lot of money at American athletes, a lot of money, because I guarantee you this, if Dave Portnoy, Barstool, got offered $10 million to sit next, like sit ringside at a fight, what do you think this is? Jaden's probably getting $40 million. Are you going to, let me tell you something right now, every single athlete in the NFL is risking injury for $40 million. I promise you that. Because most of them are risking injury for a whole lot less than that. So I understand why you feel that way. It's in the back of my mind too. But I was far more concerned about Jaden Daniels playing in meaningless NFL games that are actually really physical, where you're allowed to take his head off. Versus a situation here where you go overseas and it's smile for the cameras, throw a few footballs, get paid a ton of money, and move on with your life. There's a risk in everything in life. There is. And those scars are going to run deep, and it's going to take a long time for us as a fan base to get over those scars. But sometimes you got to just put things in perspective a little bit, and there are far bigger things to worry about with Jaden Daniels and the potential of him playing a little bit in this. By the way, a lot of other guys that are often injured too, Tyreek Hill, Christian McCaffrey. I mean, Sauce Gardner was a part of this, and Sauce Gardner just got hurt. Like, there's a lot of guys. Brock Bowers has dealt with injuries. He's going to be a part. Like, there's a ton of guys that have dealt with injuries that are going to be a part of this. But I get it. It's close to us, and that's where the emotion, it digs at you. And I'm there. I've seen it. But I'm just not going to sit there and say there's no way he should ever see this field at all, because here's the thing. Everybody wants to have Jaden Daniels as part of whatever it is that they're doing, right? Like, the NFL showed clearly they want to market Jaden Daniels with all those standalone games. He didn't play any of them because he was hurt. I get it. But he is somebody that is very marketable for a million different reasons. And he's going to always be out there building his brand. That's the way this works, and it's not going to change. But yes, there is, of course, always even just the slightest risk. But this is essentially a workout. I mean, people are always worried about Myles Garrett playing basketball. I mean, yeah, he could land and tear his ACL. He could also tear his ACL stepping wrong and work out in the offseason. And that happens too. It also happens in the preseason. Jaden barely played in the preseason. Could have gotten hurt on one play against the Bengals, on the one drive that he played the entire preseason. So it's there. I totally understand the feeling. But let's woosah. Let's just woosah a little bit with this. Because this is the same as a workout. It's probably less intense and less strenuous. Speaking of injuries, the Wizards have thankfully shown us their cards. Nick Ashew on Overtime.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Mom, I like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. And by the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators. Keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Nick Ashew on the Fan. Talk to Michael Jenkins at 7. Yeah, I know I'm probably going to be in the minority here. The Jaden Daniels playing in the flag football thing is just not.
You're convincing me.
Are you on my side now, Wesley? Is that what's going on?
I'm starting to lean your way because we were talking over break. It's like the intensity of this PR stunt that they're putting on in the Middle East. It's nothing compared to what they do on a day-to-day basis. It's nothing that he probably did today, and he's not hurt.
And listen, you can tear up your shoulder bench pressing, okay? I get it. It doesn't mean that it's like you don't try to avoid unnecessary risk to a point, but guys are working out in the offseason. You got to stay physical. You got to find different ways to work out so you're not doing your same thing. This is far less strenuous of any sort of workout than what you'd have training with your trainer, training with your receivers, doing something in minicamp. And I know that people can make the argument that that's team oriented. And well, there's stuff in the offseason has nothing to do with the team. It's still a workout. And yeah, you're preparing for the season. But how is this not in some way preparing? You're playing football. I mean, it'd be one thing if you were he's playing basketball in an offseason at some sort of tournament. I could maybe get on board with that in some capacity.
On the whole basketball, I'm like, okay, I do understand where they're coming from. But then if you put a wad of cash in front of anyone in the world, at least a normal person, they're going to take it if it's to just go out there and throw a couple of footballs.
Well, that's how LIV Golf started. Let's be real. You throw a bunch of cash and they were like, I'll leave the PGA Tour for this. It's the same thing. And that is the ultimate point here is that this isn't even about the football. This is about an event. It's just a PR stunt. That's all this is. There is not going to be any strenuous football going on here. I know these guys are competitive, but they're also smart enough to know that getting hurt in this flag football game is not worth the risk. At all. They're not. I'm just not as worried about it as so many other people. But I get it. I understand Wesley. I understand the scars. I understand why people feel this way. I am there. But it's far more risky for Jaden Daniels to play in meaningless regular season NFL games at the end of this season than it is for him to play in a flag football game where he's going to be jogging around bare minimum and tossing the football. Like, that's it.
The travel there will be more dangerous. Getting into a car is more dangerous.
Sitting for extended, although I've seen what those Live Golf flights look like. He's probably not going to be sitting. They'll be up and hanging out and
getting a massage.
They're not. You're right. They'll probably have massages literally on the flight. Like, you could do whatever. Listen, I get it. I get why guys are taking money. I get why all of this is happening. And it's all about how you put things in perspective. And when you say it out loud, like a meaningless game, sure, it sounds scary. But it's, you know, I remember years ago, it was like when people got mad at, and again, this is we're going dangerously into politics, and it's not my thing, but I'm just going to say, like, when a president of either party fills out a bracket for March Madness, you could fill that out on the toilet, and you're ready to go, and you do a five-minute TV segment. But the perception is, oh, they should be worrying about this in country and this, and like, it takes 5 minutes to do. They're not even that serious about it. It's perception generates a reality that isn't always actually the reality. And that's what this is.
I actually have a question for you.
All right.
Because do you think that Jaden Daniels asked Dan Quinn in the front office if he could do this?
I would guess that there was a conversation that's had. Now, that's speculation. I don't know.
And if they said yes, then go ahead. He got their approval.
Well, in some ways, too, you have to remember, if you're the front office, you want your star quarterback out there publicly. You want his brand to grow. It benefits the organization. And you also want him happy. Like, if you start limiting his growth, that becomes a problem. Like, you can't restrict anybody from building their own brand nowadays, sports and otherwise. Like, anybody can build their own brand doing their own thing. Like, it exists in the world now where everybody has the potential to build their own brand. So if you, as a company, not just an NFL organization, but if you as a company want to restrict somebody, there better be a good reason. And it better really be legit versus just like, oh, we just don't want you to because you're thinking like it's 1995. And it's just not the case anymore. So, you know, if I'm the Commanders, I'm looking around going, well, yeah, Jaden's the face of the organization. He's a great kid. He's smart. He's talented. He's a great leader. And this is what you want for your star quarterback. And again, Tom Brady broke through the whole like Patriot way and built his own brand all the way till the very end. And also, here, let me give you even another side to this. We can forget Trae Young. We'll talk to him later. We're going to talk to Michael Jenkins at 7 here. If you're Jaden Daniels, you're going to be around bright minds and some of these coaches like a Kyle Shanahan that's there, like a Sean Payton, like a Pete Carroll, despite what happened with the Raiders this year, like a Tom Brady. So if you're Jaden Daniels, you get an opportunity to sit down with some of the smartest football minds that have ever been on an NFL field, and you get an opportunity to be around them. So, of course, as an organization, you're going to say, absolutely, go there. Like, he's going to take advantage of this. And I would bet he plays very little, if at all. You just want a couple of video clips and maybe some photos of him throwing a football, and that's it. He's tossing a football around. That's what this is. If Jaden's out there putting 110% out of this, a standard 110%, well, then he's a crazy person. I just think he's too smart for that, especially after what happened this year. He is mindful, and he is worried just as much as everybody else about being the next RG3. And hell, RG3 wants to insert himself into this conversation every minute anyway. You think that doesn't drive Jaden Daniels nuts being compared? When his mom comes out and says, stop putting that energy on him, okay? It's a problem, and it's in the forefront of his mind. So, yeah, I'm not worried about him making dumb decisions with this. I'm more worried about him getting hurt in training camp. Really, I am. I mean, go look at all the injuries we have in training camp every single year. That's a far bigger thing to worry about. All right, we'll ask Michael Jenkins about this next. Nick Ashew on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. And by the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators. Keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nick Ashew on the Fan. I just want to point out, too, that Doc Walker just stepped in, talked to Wesley back there in the control room and agrees that this flag football thing ain't that big of a deal. That's former player right there, too. So I'll just say. Look, we're always going to have scars. People are always going to be worried. But the thing is it's now like there are more events that are like publicized because of social media, too. Like this has been going on for a long time. Just different forms of these guys doing stuff in the offseason. And, you know, look, it's there is a massive amount of pressure on this Commanders team this offseason to build something that sticks, that works, that has more longevity. And that's what this front office is certainly going to be paying attention to, far less than Jaden Daniels and, you know, a flag football game. I'm just not worried about it. But I'm also not going to dwell on it forever because it is what it is at this point. Good thing is we got Michael Jenkins jumping on. The legend, Michael Jenkins, also hosts the Get Loud podcast with Fred Smoot. Game Day Garage as well, my friend. Great show this weekend with Ryan Horvath and me.
Great time.
For that unbelievable Bears-Packers game. The NFL playoffs as a whole, we'll get to the Commanders in a minute, but I do want to say this with you, buddy. The NFL playoffs as a whole so far, the wild card weekend is always something that worries me because, you know, sometimes you have one or two blowouts. Even the Carolina Panthers, who were historic home dogs, made it a game against the Rams.
Oh, we were watching the end of that game, and I think that the way the Rams started off in that game, you know, I left here to come over to your place to do Game Day Garage, and so when I left, I was like, oh, the Rams got this. And then I arrive, and I'm like, wait a second, Carolina could win this thing? So, yeah, it's amazing that a team that had a losing record, that was a 10.5-point dog, actually came this close to beating the Rams, and it took Matthew Stafford making just an incredible throw, an MVP-like throw at the end of that game to win it. So, man, the NFL playoffs have delivered thus far.
All right, so Jaden Daniels playing a flag football game, and it's a big thing, and people are... And listen, I'll just say this in case you missed what I said last hour. Look, I understand why people are worried, because this is an event that involves somebody doing something physical that was hurt all year, and I get it. Mm-hmm. My thing is this, Jenks. I was, and you know this, I was very adamant that the Commanders shut him down at the end of the regular season when they were eliminated from the playoffs. Those games at that point were meaningless, and those are games where players are trying to take your head off. And a flag football game is something that's, it's an event. It's to just have his face out there. He's the face of the organization, and he's going to be tossing a football around. It's just not, it's like workouts are so much more strenuous than this. The one thing that I will say is that Jaden Daniels is always going to be in these types of events, is always going to be treated as the face of the organization and branded as such. I'm not worried about this situation at all. Are you worried at all about this flag football thing?
I mean, initially, you know, I think I had that knee-jerk reaction, like, oh my God. And then I realized this really isn't a big deal. It's the knee-jerk reaction from watching a guy play professional tackle football and get knocked around and having injury issues. Then you realize, look, this is a flag football game, okay? If you were playing in a rec summer league, a basketball game, I might be like, all right, I don't know if I want him doing that. But ultimately, you're talking about Saquon Barkley is going to be in this. Christian McCaffrey is going to do this. CeeDee Lamb is going to do this. We see non-contact injuries all the time. And as you alluded to, OTAs, even just regular training camp practices are obviously much more physical than this. So I think it's honestly, it's much ado about nothing. And ultimately, you know, your job as an NFL player, of course, you want to be careful. You want to take care of yourself, but you want to promote yourself. You want to promote the organization. And this is a great way to do that. So yeah, the more that I thought about it, I thought this is just sort of PTSD from the past season and Jaden's injury, but I'm not worried about this at all.
Hell, listen, I take it even farther. I know for me it's PTSD from, you know, two decades of a previous ownership right. group. It's totally different than the way this organization is now. But everybody in that organization also understands that people do have these scars, and they got to show that it's different. And I do believe that they're doing that, and they're going to do that. David Blau is the new offensive coordinator for the Commanders. Yeah. You surprised how fast that happened?
I was until I started to see the traction that he was getting from other teams, like the Lions, for example. And when you talk about PTSD, I mean, I think a lot of this, look, even though we're talking about a new ownership group and the Josh Harris group, look, these guys are certainly aware of this franchise's history, right? We know about Mike McDaniel or Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan, guys who've been through this organization and then gone on elsewhere, these great offensive minds who've gone elsewhere and done big things. So it's not a guarantee that David Blau is going to do things that we've seen from these other guys, but I think it is an acknowledgement that, hey, if we have someone here who has a lot of promise, who already has a connection with our franchise quarterback and who is already garnering interest from other teams, maybe we should take a look at him ourselves. And so once we saw that interest, I think it sort of sped up the process. So I was surprised until I wasn't, and I started to see that attention from elsewhere, and then I thought, no wonder they locked him down.
Isn't it crazy how young offensive coordinators are getting hired now?
Oh, it's wild.
Makes you feel God.
I mean, imagine being 30. You're 30. You know, like you're 30 years old. Like, I mean, I think I've always thought that, you know, I've always been mature for my age. But then I think about me at 30. I'm like, I was an idiot. I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm not saying David Blau is like that, but I'm just saying, obviously, time and experience will do wonders for you in any profession. Being 30 and having that level of responsibility is something that I can't fathom. But I am kind of glad to see the NFL sort of at least expand in a bit younger direction, because forever, and even now we see this all the time, you know this, Nick, where it's just like you just regurgitate these names and these same coaches and these same assistants again and again and again. So I do like seeing some fresh blood.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at just the NFL now, it's all about sort of that next mind that's going to do things differently offensively. But then it's like defensively on the other side, you kind of look at defensive coordinators, and the best ones are grizzled veterans that have seen it all. And I think it's just a totally different scenario. I've compared it to, like, offensive coordinators are like the tech bros, and then defensive coordinators are doctors, where, like, you want the guys that have seen everything versus the other way around. Brian Flores was with the organization interviewing for the defensive coordinator job. I mean, for me, like, if they get him, that's the only answer, like, plain and simple. That is the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. The thing for me, Jenks, is that I look and go, okay, like, what about the Steelers? What about the Ravens? There's rumors they're interested. I mean, I'm sure he wants to be a head coach. I don't know what those interviews, those talks, those situations are certainly going to be. But I'll tell you this now, man. If Brian Flores even is considering being the defensive coordinator, you make him the highest paid defensive coordinator in the NFL.
Oh, on the spot. Like, make him say no. I think if you have someone that good, who is that aggressive, who loves to blitz, who takes advantage of personnel, he's really good about elevating personnel on the defensive side of the football and maxing out the talent that he has, and has done that in Minnesota clearly, then, you know, make him your guy. I think the problem with Brian Flores is he's also going to look at, and I think that, you know, this is where his mindset comes into play, whereas I think he probably wants to be a head coach again, but right now he has a lawsuit pending against the NFL because of what happened in Miami, and that's probably going to go to the Supreme Court. So how many organizations are going to allow him that head coaching path if he gets hired as a defensive coordinator? I don't know if any organizations are willing to do that, or if that is ultimately what he has in mind. I think it probably is. And maybe he thinks Washington is the place to do that. I think for him, this is just sort of part of the feeling out process. But my gut is he probably feels like he's a better fit elsewhere.
Yeah, and to watch him turn this defense into what they had in Minnesota would be, I mean, listen, I think everybody would want it. But there's also a million things that this defense needs, too. I mean, certainly pass rush, you get like, go get 10. I think you and I talked about this on Saturday. Like, the more pass rushers, the better. And they just have nothing right now. And this, you know, the offense and David Blau hiring him, Jenks, it's kind of like, well, that makes sense. They went quicker. They stayed within the organization. And they've got at least a decent amount of pieces on that offense. It was injuries that were certainly the biggest issue. Defensively, though, I mean, they need so much on this defense.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's the thing, is that they truly need playmakers at every level, like every single level. So, I mean, I know they're picking at 7. I would think, unless someone just falls into their lap, that they have to go defense. And so we're going to find out a lot about Adam Peters and his ability to be a GM. I mean, he clearly has a great reputation, but particularly now when they don't have the draft picks that they've had in years past, like, what are they going to do at 7? You know, they've got to get someone like a Reuben Bain or early I was talking to someone and I said David Blaine instead of David Bailey. I mean, they could use some magic, you know, some David Blaine-esque magic on defense, but Bailey out of Texas Tech is unbelievable. But whether it's Caleb Downs in the secondary at safety, find playmakers at every level on that defense, because there's no question, even though they got better once DQ took over the play calling duties, it's still, they were, you know, kind of a mess. I mean, they just were a mess for the rest of the season. And so they've got to start with the draft and go from there. And any coordinator they can add to that mix to improve that level of talent until they get the experience they need and until they get younger is certainly going to help with that.
Talking to Michael Jenkins on Overtime, do you think Deebo Samuel's back? Because a lot of this obviously comes down to money. Listen, I'll say this. I think they got a steal still with him for a fifth-round pick, but he was asked to do more than what he was really brought in to do, being essentially the number one wide receiver at times. His versatility makes a ton of sense in this offense and even as a return guy when they need it. But I think, in my mind, it certainly comes down to money.
I mean, I think that's all it is. There's no question that Deebo is probably, you know, you can make a case that he was the MVP of the offense this season. You know, whenever they needed someone to step up, it was Deebo, even on special teams. You know, even when they needed him to get it done there, he did it. And he kind of found his footing again after sort of falling off a touch in San Francisco. A lot of that was injury related. But yeah, I think if the price is right, he's such a unique player. And when you're talking about an offense that is no longer Cliff Kingsbury's, but certainly we're going to see, I think, more of a, you know, a similar sort of creative vibe with David Blau taking over. And when you have a guy like Deebo, you can do so many different things with a particular player like that that you can't do with other guys because they just don't have a skill set. If the price is right, I think he can just do so much that so many other players can't. So if you can keep him around, you have to.
What do you think this team does in free agency? Big spenders, a little more cautious, short-term deals. How do you think that's going to look? I know it's probably individual by player, but so far a lot of it has been obviously shorter-term deals.
I think what they're going to do is they're going to kind of look for, I don't want to say bargains, but I don't expect any sort of like massive signing. They need bodies, Nick. I mean, they need to get younger across the board. And I know that, you know, veteran leadership helps to a point, but when you're talking about the oldest team in the NFL and a team that, you know, needs team speed, then they need bodies, and particularly bodies after so many injuries. So if they needed, you know, last year, 2 years ago, you know, after that incredible season, then it looked like, okay, they need a piece or two. And so they get Tunsil and they bring in Deebo, and those were huge pieces. But now we're seeing, okay, they need a lot more than that. So if you're the Commanders, I would think we see a lot of guys come in on not monster deals, but guys who ultimately have a lot of potential and are cap friendly because they just got to get younger and they got to get faster across the board.
All right. I know you're a college football guy. We got a couple minutes here. I am God, I want to see Indiana win this national championship on Monday so desperately, man. I really do.
I mean, I can't. I was trying to explain to the lovely Catherine. I was like, honey, because she's like, when does football end? I was like, it's coming to an end. Like, we're going to get a break. But I mean, it's just a constant football. And I was explaining to her the Indiana story. And I was like, you have to understand, before the last couple of seasons, this was the second losingest college football program in the history of the NCAA. Like, this is remarkable what they've done. And I think they're absolutely going to win it. I also think Cignetti has changed the game, because now we're seeing the difference between Indiana and every other team they played is that the extra couple of years that he has used to develop his guys has made a massive difference, because you have grown men playing against college kids. And those extra couple of years make a massive difference. We're seeing that they out-physical everyone. And he's probably the best head coach in the game right now. So you put those two things together and you have a team that I think is destined to win it all. And their journey has just been unbelievable.
I was going to ask you that, and I might even take this a little bit further. Kurt Cignetti could be the next Nick Saban. And I know that sounds blasphemous now given what Nick Saban did, but like Alabama, I know Alabama actually had a football history, but they were a mess before Nick Saban took over. And let's also look at the personalities. Kurt Cignetti is Nick Saban, like the grumpy football guy that just doesn't want to show any sort of emotion, but like turns everybody around and they're disciplined. And like, I can see him evolving into that. It's going to take a long time, but dude, I could see that. He is an incredible coach.
Oh, he's unbelievable. And he said something really fascinating when someone was asking him about his demeanor and how he never smiles. I mean, he doesn't even have that small moment of levity after like a great play, or it could be a blocked kick or pick six, whatever it is. And what he was saying is, you know, if I'm going to tell my players, I need you focused for every second of the game. Do not let up until time is off the clock and the game is over. He goes, I can't let up. So I don't want to show them that I'm letting up, because I'm trying to preach the message that you can't do that. So when the game is over, sure, but while we're in the game, no matter what happens, I'm going to stay the way that I am. And that is the message that he preaches. So he does that intentionally just to let his players know, no, we're not taking a break and we're not going to celebrate until we're done.
I sometimes wonder if he's ticklish, and maybe somebody should just tickle him one time and just see if he actually laughs.
That pinky toe, watch out.
Yeah, listen, if they win a national championship, I hope we get one smile from him, but I feel like the bit will just continue. They'll interview him and they'll have him on the podium and he'll just be like, yeah, I win, Google me, and that's all you're going to get again. And which, you know what? Just play into the image. Michael Jenkins, Get Loud Podcast with Fred Smoot, Game Day Garage. Good to talk to you, buddy.
You too, brother.
All right. Yeah, listen, Kurt Cignetti, I have no ties to Indiana. I don't think very many people in this area do. But, like, how can you not root for a program like that? And I know you got Miami, but Miami's going to end up being the villains at some point anyway, because they're going to have Michael Irvin dancing on the sidelines. Michael Irvin's annoying. Wesley, can I just say that?
Yes.
God, I'm sick of it. So sick of it.
It's annoying. Like, dude's like, doing stretches. I don't even know what he's doing on the sideline.
He's just streaming live on his YouTube channel, which I don't blame him, you know, but like, I just just over it. Just over it at this point.
I feel like they are already the villains. I mean, they're Miami. They've won championships before.
All right, save that, because I'm going to ask you about that later, because maybe we're right at that point. As for the defensive coordinator situation for the Commanders, it may be a long shot, but maybe there is still a chance that Brian Flores does take the defensive coordinator job. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Thanks to Michael Jenkins. Joined us. We'll talk to Toby Altizer at the top of the hour. Look ahead to the draft a little bit with the Commanders and why Dante Moore going back to school could actually hurt the Commanders a little bit. Oh, we do have some breaking news when it comes to the Commanders coaching staff. According to Adam Schefter, the Commanders are hiring former Falcons quarterbacks coach DJ Williams as their new quarterbacks coach. DJ is the son of, yes, the same Williams, Doug Williams, who, of course, is in the Commanders front office, won a Super Bowl. I don't really need to explain to you, because this isn't a national show. Everybody knows who Doug Williams is. So, listen, starting to round out that offensive staff a little bit. This is going to bring in somebody that's, you know, got a name that's tied to the organization, got a dad that's tied to the organization, worked with Michael Penix Jr., Kirk Cousins a little bit there in Atlanta. So we'll see. I mean, you had to fill the position. You're going to have David Blough with his philosophy, his offense and all of that, and they're now picking the guys that are going to kind of fit in with that. So DJ Williams is going to be the new quarterback's coach for the Commanders. We still don't know what defensive coordinator is going to look like. Brian Flores did interview with the team, and this is, I mean, it would be a dream scenario. Look, I'll tell you, I still wanted Mike McDaniel to be the offensive coordinator, but he's interviewing for head coaching jobs, so that's probably the reason why the Commanders probably had a conversation with him, and he said, I'm still looking to be a head coach, and they said, okay, so we'll promote from within, and we're not going to let the young guy that's in our organization, David Blau, move on and go somewhere else. I don't blame him. That's the right choice. But now defensive coordinator, which is, this is a spot I think is going to take a little more time because, you know, this defense is a mess. Like, let's be honest with ourselves here, right? Like, this isn't one of those things where you can just go, yeah, the coordinator is going to fix it all. No, like a better offensive philosophy and some tweaks on the offense and, well, health, obviously. That's the most important thing on the offensive side. It's a much smaller list. The list of things that the Commanders need to fix on the defensive side of the football is a list that you unravel like an Egyptian scroll. It's just like, and it rolls across the room in the front offices of Ashburn and through the hallway, and it's a list of thing after thing after thing, and defensive coordinator is going to help, but you can't, if you're Brian Flores, force guys to be good tacklers. And, like, I don't know how else to say that in a way that doesn't sound really dopey, but, like, we watched how bad this team was just tackling this year. It's what made Bobby Wagner valuable. And I know, how dare we say anything nice about Bobby Wagner? Everybody's so upset. And, like, Bobby Wagner was the best tackler this team had. It was also a veteran that brought a lot of things to the table for this team. But this isn't about Bobby Wagner. This is about a defense that had basic fundamentals that they could not get right. Couldn't. Even, and I, look, injuries are one thing, and you can use it as a reason as to why the offense wasn't what it was. That's fine. Like, any logical person's going to look and go, okay, like, next man up only means so much when you're going all the way down the depth chart. But the problem is, next man up didn't matter defensively because this Commander's defense was just a mess. Like, top to bottom. Starters shouldn't have been starters. Like, that's where they were. So, we could have Brian Flores as the defensive coordinator, which, by the way, I want. I'm raising my hand now to the organization and saying, hey, I want that. I think most of this fan base would. But look, there are a lot of things that are still factors here. One, you think the Commanders are the only team that wants Brian Flores as their defensive coordinator? I can tell you there are a lot of teams that looked at that Vikings defense and went, oh my God, we want him. I mean, he's one of the best defensive minds in the NFL. But there's also the Ravens, the Steelers, potential head coaching jobs. And, you know, look, there's other things that factor in, right? Jenks and I talked about it last segment. You got to keep in mind that there is a lawsuit between Brian Flores and what happened in Miami, and that's probably going to, like, the Supreme Court. So does that affect his head coaching candidacy? I don't know. Like, that's not my world. I don't know the answer to that. But what I can tell you is he did have success in Miami as a head coach. It's just that there was a level of burnout and, you know, how he coached and some things that he's addressed that, like, hey, I learned from that. He's maybe a little too much of a hard ass or whatever. Those were factors. Those were things that were part of this. I will say that the Steelers make a lot of sense. He also was in the Steelers organization before, after the Miami firing. The Ravens certainly make sense. Those are both organizations that have a culture I think that would fit with Brian Flores. Tough, you know, defensive-minded. And the Ravens are probably the best head coaching job that's available. In fact, it is. Like, because it always starts with quarterback. I always look at strength of schedule only with the quarterback matchups. I don't care what strength of schedule looks like in the NFL in April because there's a million things that need to change. So tell me in June even what they're like. Okay, so what? Tell me what strength of schedule was after the season. But you can look at quarterback matchups. You can also do the same thing for head coaching jobs in the NFL. And I know it's, you know, a little annoying to some people sometimes that quarterback is so magnified, but that's the reality. That's how the NFL is. That's what the rules look like. That's how they've geared this sport, this league. It's all about quarterbacks and offense. So if I'm looking at a head of coaching job, I'm certainly looking at the Ravens. And if I'm Brian Flores and the Ravens want me, I'm taking that job. And, like, this is my thing too, and I've said this a lot, right? Like, there are some guys that become head coaches and you just realize, like, you're just not a good head coach. And I know that that's tough because there's a level of ego and there's a level of, like, a lack of accomplishment, right? Most people that get into coaching, the desire is to be a head coach, right? That's the top of the level. You're competitive. Like, that's the top of the mountain right there. But there are some guys that just aren't head coaches. And there's so much more that gets put into the job of being a head coach. If you are a great offensive or defensive coordinator, you are an expert at that position, at that side of the football. And you've already got a level of a staff in terms of position coaches that you're going to manage and handle all that. So you're like, you're basically a mini head coach, if you will, right? But then to be a head coach, you've got even more of a chain of command and more responsibility and more interviews and more of a spotlight and all of these things. And style of leadership matters. And you can get away with being a hard ass as a defensive coordinator, but in today's professional sports, even, not just the NFL, in today's professional sports, that's a harder and harder thing to do. These guys are just getting paid more. They're bigger brands. They're more and more in the spotlight. Player empowerment and player control matters more and more. More in the NBA than in the NFL, but it certainly matters there. So there's a certain point where, listen, John Harbaugh's out in Baltimore for a lot of reasons, but one of them was that Lamar and him were starting to just kind of, the relationship got a little cold, okay? So, you know, if you're a head coach that is kind of going to do the whole, like, I'm going to go in and be a hard ass and, you know, this is how we do it. It's old school football. Good luck. That doesn't really work as much anymore. You've got to find a way, like Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich and other coaches, really a lot of great leaders have had this mindset, but there's the mindset of you have to coach or lead different people in different ways based on their personality. And you have to do that with a lot of players when you're a head coach in the NFL. Same thing as a coordinator, but it's a different level. And there's also a level, okay, so how are you going to manage? Are you going to be more of those walk-around coaches where you're going to allow your coordinators to really run the show and you're just kind of more of, you know, allocating responsibilities around, showing up in meetings and watching film with different groups and kind of being more of the CEO? Or are you going to be more heavily involved? And does that work? And does that work with the organization and the coaching staff that you have there? The one thing I will say that we've learned now in the NFL is that coordinators matter more than they ever have. They really do. And certainly on the offensive side, I mean, it's a big deal to be a coordinator at 30 years old like the Commanders have. But the reality is that's what they have at offensive coordinator. And it's worked. It's worked a lot in this league. But we're also seeing what happens when you remove coordinators from a team. Ask the Lions this year, who just lost both of their coordinators. Ask the Eagles, who now have just gone through they're going to be looking for their fifth offensive coordinator in 5 years, which, for all the things going right for the Eagles, wouldn't it sweet to watch them lose and watch that offense do exactly what you expected again? Oh, it was beautiful. Look, you don't have to come and tell me the Commanders won 5 games this year, Eagles fans. I know. I don't care. Your team was supposed to at least contend for a Super Bowl, and you whimpered out in the playoffs, and it felt good. Oh, it was a nice consolation prize, and I'll take it. But look at where Philadelphia is without a lack of consistency at offensive coordinator. And look at what happened when they lost all of their coordinators at the beginning of the Nick Sirianni era. And they've cycled through guys. And Detroit lost both of theirs. And this happens a lot. And sometimes, like, I don't think Mike McDaniel is a head coach. I just don't. He seems like a great dude. I think he's a great leader in his own way. But, like, leader as offensive coordinator and leader as a head coach are two different things. And, you know, he doesn't have to sit there and be the face, one of the faces of the organization if he's a coordinator. You talk to the media once a week. You can focus on your offense. And that's really the key. For somebody like Mike McDaniel, like, that's an offensive, he's a brilliant offensive mind. And if he's somebody that then has to pay attention at least what's going on defensively, even if he's got a great defensive coordinator that's, you know, kind of leading the charge and focused on that and is first in command there and he can go to him, right? He's the CEO and that's his VP of operations on defense or whatever. Like, give it a corporate title. It works to a point, but I just don't think Mike McDaniel is a head coach. That's not a bad thing. You know who else isn't a good head coach? Josh McDaniels. These McDaniels guys, clearly just not head coaches. You know what Josh McDaniels is, though? A really great offensive coordinator, because he's done it now 57 times for the Patriots, and it works every time. But he's tried to be a head coach twice, and it doesn't work. And he's just not that guy. And I don't think Josh McDaniels will ever get a head coaching opportunity again. But you know what he's going to be? A really good offensive coordinator that's going to make millions of dollars and have a really successful offense that's going to work around Drake May. And we're seeing that. I mean, Drake May was okay in his first preseason, but that was a good Chargers defense, too, in his first playoff game. But, you know, this isn't always the case. And Brian Flores, I'm sure, wants to be a head coach again. But if he doesn't get those opportunities, him having that opportunity to complete, like, this is what would have to matter for him then, right? And we're getting in his head, I understand that. I don't know what he's actually thinking. But, like, the Commanders have so many issues on defense. So many issues. Does Flores want to build this defense? Or does he want to go to a defense that has more pieces in place, right? Like, that's really going to be a major factor for him. Because you've got a ready-made defense that's really, really good in Minnesota. And maybe he just goes back there, right? Like, you don't always see this as like a, you know, he's a free agent, essentially. Does he want to come in and say, I want to build this defense. Let me have a hand in this decision-making. That's the difference. And that's what we don't know. But I'm sure it was said within these, you know, the hallowed walls of Ashburn. So we'll see. I would love it. God, I'd love it so much. But the pressure on this team to get it right with all of this stuff, it's a big, big deal. Big, big deal. All right. Why offenses in the NFL have become the tech world now? Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on Overtime. I've learned that you can put a song in my head for about 2 seconds and it's stuck in my head forever. I blame Wesley during the break. Who played that old whopper song. It's stuck in my head now. You did it. You put it in my ear, and it's your fault. I hate you. I just want to point that out. I am very clearly easily influenced by marketing. At least the songs get stuck in my head. So that's happened. So if
well,
I
you
just
can
start...
tell the world that you love the Cars for Kids commercial.
I listen. Let me tell you something, man. When you create a commercial that is all about getting stuck in someone's head, you've done your job. And we've seen that over the years. And now AI is doing it for us, and they're probably good at it too. And eventually the robots are going to take over anyway, so it's fine. We might as well just let it happen. This is how you segue. David Blau is taking over as the new offensive coordinator for the Commanders. See how I did that? I am a professional. Listen, they're hiring these guys younger. He's 30 years old, man. Like, he just got off the football field, what, a year ago, a couple years ago? It's crazy. But here's the thing, like, they are hiring younger and younger, and it's the new standard for offensive coordinators, and it's tech bros versus doctors. We have 20-something year old billionaires now in this world because they're really smart and they've built robots and algorithms and AI, and it's just it's a different world now.
Oh, I thought you were about to talk about Kylie Jenner.
No, there's also that, too. I mean, I don't know if David Blau falls into the Kylie Jenner category, but, you know, let's be real. There's a level of spotlight on that family that does help a little bit. It's not truly self-made, but you also take the money and you build something, so I can't totally argue with that. But I prefer to look at the people that don't have a giant spotlight on their family their entire lives and then say, I want to build a business, and people just go, I'll give you money. Like, it's different when you're building something like Sam Altman has with OpenAI, not to get too tech nerdy here, but I love this stuff, and kind of doing it from scratch in some ways. That being said, it's just true. Like, you look at offensive coordinators, the younger the better, that's the tech world. You look at defensive coordinators and it's doctors, right? If a doctor walks in and you got something that you need fixed and he looks like he's 23 years old or she looks like she's 20, you're going to be like, you old enough for this? You just get out of medical school, but a doctor that's like 60, but still like, obviously you don't want him to look like decrepit and go, are you 100? Can you see me? If it's, there's that sweet spot, right? You're like, doctor's probably in his 60s. He's seen it all, confident, comfortable, good bedside manner, calm under pressure. That's the defensive coordinator that I want. And the NFL really kind of looks at it the same way. If you look at where all of this fits and you look at the ages, I'm a nerd and I absolutely look this up. I just want to point this out that I am a nerd that has looked this up. The age gap between offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators on average is astronomical. Like, under 40 for offensive coordinators is where the high concentration is, right? Like, that's where the graph is at its highest. 40 to 49, kind of like in the middle, there's a little, and 50 plus, there's a few retreads. Greg Roman was one of them, and he just got fired. Like, you just don't see offensive coordinators. Like, eventually they become the head coaches, and then they stay head coaches. And if they don't, they kind of become retreads. They don't stay where places very long, or they go back to being a position coach, and it's just like, well, I think this is just where you belong. You're a quarterback's coach, or you're
go to college as well.
Or, yeah, college. You're right. College is another one. That's
Chip Kelly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what's funny that you mentioned that? Chip Kelly was, at one point, looked at as like that brilliant offensive mind when he was at Oregon way back in the day.
Yeah, he was.
And listen, I'll even say this. Early on with the Eagles, like, it was working. It was working when he was the head coach of the Eagles. The problem was he did stupid things like releasing DeSean Jackson. Like, you trade the guy at least. You don't just release the guy because you want to make a stand and show that you're tough. And that goes back to what I'm saying. Being a head coach is a different animal. And if you can't understand leadership and you just want to go in and be the guy that's first day in jail and you punch the biggest guy in the face, that ain't going to work. That doesn't work as a head coach. And that's what hurt Chip Kelly. But you're right. Some of these guys end up going back to college. They go different places, right? It's like there's this pipeline of like a youth movement, and it's not weird to have under 40 or at this point 30 as an offensive coordinator. It's kind of become the requirement. But if you look on the other side of things, defensive coordinators, you want experience. You want somebody that can make a ton of adjustments, but it's because you're reacting. You're reacting to what the offense has done. You got to be somebody that's seen it. The offensive side of things, you want an offensive coordinator that's smart, that's creative, that's elusive, that it can add new layers and do things people haven't seen before. Again, it's tech, something nobody's seen before. It gets people's attention. But if you're a defensive coordinator, you're reacting. You're waiting to see what the offense is bringing to the table. I mean, again, you're not just reacting, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you still have to react to what the offense is doing. You've got to have, like, an install mastery. The staff leadership certainly matters, too. But I argue that would matter some on both sides. But there's a level of that, like, grizzled veteran and situational call history. And, like, I've seen this before, and I know how to handle these situations late. It matters, because if you look, like, under 40 defensive coordinators, there's not a lot. 50-plus is the dominant bucket, if you were to put all these ages into buckets. Where, you know, Vic Fangio, I know the Eagles are out, but the Eagles' defense was not the problem this year. It wasn't the problem even against the 49ers. Steve Spagnuolo, I mean, people look at him and he's like, this guy's brilliant. It's like, well, yeah. And he's in, what, his mid-60s? Vic Fangio's in his mid-60s? I mean, Jim Schwartz is a great defensive coordinator. I know he's interviewing for head coaching jobs, but he's, what, late 50s? You know, Lou Anarumo is in his 50s. He's been a defensive coordinator forever. So, like, it's just different now. It's weird, but, like, this is kind of where we've gone. Offensive coordinators just get these opportunities to get hired sooner, become head coaches sooner, and if it works, they stay head coaches. And if it doesn't, well, we know the path they go on. But defensive coordinators tend to be in a spot, and that's really what the Commanders need. Man, again, Brian Flores is, God, I'd love to see it. But if not, I want somebody that has a track record of success that's also going to have to be able to help build this defense, that knows how to come in and reconstruct a defense, that knows how to come in and say, this is valuable. Now, granted, some of this is easy. It's practically a blank slate. You come in and don't identify they need a pass rush, we got a problem, but you probably won't get hired, right? You know, we need probably help at linebacker. Yep, that we're going to do that too. That's good, coach. So two for two so far. Help at safety. Yep, going to need that too. Corner pretty good. Young, got some more. Yep, all right. So far you've nailed it. You now have the job. Like, it's really... It's pretty easy to identify. They need just all the talent, all the things. The Commanders need all the things on defense. And if Brian Flores wants to build this thing, that's great. Like, that's what they need. It'd be interesting to see, though, if you have a veteran and a really good defensive coordinator that comes in with Dan Quinn already there. I mean, the discussions obviously are, like, does Dan Quinn not want to call the defense? I would guess he doesn't. So you want to have somebody that can come in and really handle that, which I think that matters. Because, you know, we know they had to do that last year. And you're in a spot where this is an important offseason. Like, this is a massively important offseason. The Commanders have to get it right. Because there's not everything's going to click. Not every draft pick's going to hit. Not every free agent is going to be here long term. But you got to get this mostly right. And you got to show significant improvement. Not just from a health perspective, but from an overall, like, building this roster and having the opportunity to be a consistent contender in the division at this point. Because that 12-win season feels a long way away at this point. And in case you're wondering, Jaden Daniels will be going into year three next year. So things move fast. The kids grow up so fast, don't they? Grow up so fast. Talk to Toby Altheiser at 8. We're going to look at not just the NFL draft, but also why Dante Moore returning to Oregon could actually affect the Commanders and their draft. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on Overtime. Talk to Toby Altizer at 8. NFL draft for the Commanders. They got their quarterbacks coach, DJ Williams, son of Doug Williams. Former Falcons quarterbacks coach. He's the quarterbacks coach now. That just broke 15 minutes ago or so. Still waiting on defensive coordinator. No idea what's going to happen with Brian Flores. Would love him to be the defensive coordinator, but I think it's a long shot, honestly. I think it's more out of respect for Dan Quinn and probably this new ownership group that he interviewed, but I think there's probably better opportunities for him out there, especially if he wants to be, you know, wants to be a head coach. Wesley, you during the break sent me a parlay.
Yes.
That is an astronomical amount of money. I've been thinking about this. Give it to me again, because we're going to workshop this right now.
It's wild. It's wild. I saw it on Twitter. I had to send it to you because we talk about bets all the time. Ben Griffin, I believe that's a golfer. I think he had to win a tournament. Indiana.
Way to do your research on there, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, I got you.
Good job.
Did you know who that was?
I knew it was a golfer, but I didn't know what the tournament was. It doesn't even say on the thing what it
is. Yeah, it just says win only. So yeah. I guess. Yeah. Indiana.
There's this thing called Google, Wesley, that you should be using to prepare yourself.
You got a World Wide Web at your fingertips, and I'm not even using it. Indiana winning the championship on Monday, and the Rams winning the Super Bowl. You want to read that total out? $300, and look how much you make from that. Well over $100,000, Nick. So the cash out is $14,000. So what are you doing on here?
So
what are you doing here? Cashing out, or you just waiting it out?
So Ben Griffin already hit. The next two is Indiana winning the national championship and the Rams winning the Super Bowl. Now, I think Indiana is going to win the national championship. So I would wait until after that to consider a cash out, because you're going to get a lot more money there.
Yes.
Especially with it down to the last leg and a ton of money. I think it's a FanDuel bet, it looked like in the graphic you sent me. FanDuel's going to say, yes, we'd love for you to cash this out so we don't owe you the $150,000, and it's 75 or whatever it is. My question there is the Rams winning the Super Bowl, because Matt Stafford's hand isn't 100% healthy. They struggled against the Carolina Panthers. And their path to get through Chicago, which I think they could beat Chicago, despite the comeback and all of that. Like the Rams are still more playoff tested, and they've got a great head coach. Though I think Ben Johnson's showing he's a good head coach too. And you know, there's a chance they beat Chicago, but then you got to get through San Francisco or Seattle, and then you got to get through what's coming in the AFC on the other side, and some really good defenses. Houston, New England, and Denver are elite defenses. Buffalo is playoff tested, and there's certainly pressure on them there. I just think the path is a lot tougher, and there's certainly a lot more things that have to go right for the Rams to win. So here's what I'd say with that. I'd say let this thing ride through the national championship game. Indiana wins the national title, and you cash out after that. I would not wait to see if the Rams win the Super Bowl. I would take whatever that cash out is once Indiana wins the national championship.
Yeah, so the cash out is $14,000 right now, and if Indiana wins the national championship, what do you think it's going to go to? You think the cash out would be $35,000?
No, I think it's way more than that. So what's the total payout if it wins?
$125,000.
So it's $125,000 if Indiana wins the national championship and the Rams win the Super Bowl. That's if everything hits. So that's at $125,000. The cash out right now is at $14,000 with the $300 they bet just for Ben Griffin to win.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They didn't tell you.
Whatever. But I love that. Yeah, whatever. It's fine. It already happened, so who cares? I would guess that you're going to be looking at probably a cash out, because they want to minimize loss, but they also want to maximize the incentive for you to cash out. I would guess you're looking at about $75,000 for a cash out if Indiana wins. This is a guess. I mean, you know, but I would guess that that's where this goes. And honestly, at that point, to risk, sure, $150,000 looks good, but you know what looks worse? Zero.
Yep.
And what's the old expression? A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Basically, like what you already have guaranteed is a whole lot better than the risk of maybe getting more, but there's a good chance you get nothing when it's all done. Look, I would cash that thing out the minute Indiana wins this national title. Now, I'm all in on Indiana winning this. Do you think they're going to win it too?
I do think they're going to win it. I am still torn on who I'm rooting for.
Okay. But rooting's different, though, in terms of like where you're looking at.
Let me just set the record straight. If you just took all the national championship champions, Indiana to me is on the lower half. Like, I know there's this talk about being the first team to go 16-0. If they went up against 2019 LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, they would lose.
Well, that's fair. 2019 LSU was, I mean, one of the best teams we've ever seen in college football.
They would lose to 2020 Alabama. They would probably lose to Cardale and Zeke. I know I'm being biased, but still, like, the disparity, the disparity between the teams back in the day when I was in high school and now is crazy.
I think there's more parity in college football because you have the ability to pay guys and they'll go to other schools.
Exactly.
Now. Like, it's it makes a huge difference, which in a lot of ways is good. It kind of spreads the wealth out literally and figuratively in college football. But yeah, I wouldn't. Now I put Kurt Cignetti right at the very top of college football coaches now, and even compared to some of these others, but we just haven't seen the full like story from him yet because of what he's been able to do to turn this program around so quickly. But that's different than like comparing to past teams.
Yes, and another thing, and this is obviously this Indiana's playing within the rules with the transfer portal, but the average age of Indiana is to me when it comes to college football is concerning. I am younger than the average age of Indiana.
Well, you're 16, so that's, you know.
Exactly. And I'm out of college. Like, there's guys where I was in high school that they're playing college football, and I'm watching them when I'm in high school, and I'm out of college, and they're still playing.
Guys go the Van Wilder route now, and they could take the scenic route and play seven years.
Somehow, they still have a COVID year. It's 2026, dog. Like, what do you mean COVID year at this point? I know you get the redshirt year, but NCAA, their governing body has to come together and say, you know, you got a red shirt, but you can only be in college for 5 years. You can't be there until you're 27.
Well, apparently you can. So, you know, at this point, they've made it clear. And then, listen, he's taking advantage of what he can, but I think it will be a testament to his coaching moving forward with what Indiana looks like after this. Now, granted, it's going to make recruiting a lot easier playing in the national championship game, win or lose, if you're Indiana, but it's going to be a lot different.
Which I am shocked that their recruiting class didn't get better after what they did last year. They're all the way down at near 70. I believe it was 77.
My theory on that is it's just more of you. So it's hard to change the reputation of a name. And Indiana and football does not resonate like Indiana and basketball, despite plenty of down years or irrelevant years that Indiana's had as a basketball program, too. I think there's going to be, if I'm a top recruit coming out of high school, I'm honestly still going to look elsewhere before Indiana because I would want to see more. Like, now 5 years from now, if Indiana continues to be a national title contender, that's going to change. The image is going to change. The idea of Indiana and football in the same sentence is going to mean a lot more than what it still does right now. But you have to start somewhere, and that's where this program is they're starting somewhere. It's just being able to continue that. So a kid that's 12 right now, when he's getting recruited by Indiana, he's looking at it a whole different way than what an 18-year-old is right now looking at what Indiana's done right now this season. So I think that's really a difference.
Yeah, that's a great point because we saw, obviously, we had TCU in the championship against Georgia, and we see where they are right now. The year after, they didn't even get to a bowl game. So I definitely am with you on that.
I think it just takes time. But if they can stick with this, and Kurt Cignetti, there's no reason why he certainly can't with the type of coach that he is. But the recruiting, and it's not just the recruiting. It's the transfer portal now, too. So it's, you know, it's basically free agency. If they can win in free agency, you know, it matters. Speaking of college, Toby Altizer on how much Dante Moore staying in school could affect the Commanders draft. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.